Welcome to the Arroyo Grande City Council meeting for Tuesday, April 10th, 2018. This is our regular 6 o'clock meeting. May we have a roll call, please?
Council Board Member Brown?
Indeed.
Council Board Member Barnidge?
Here.
Council Board Member Harmon?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chair Ray?
Here.
And Mayor Chair Hill?
Here. Please join us in a moment of reflection. Thank you. This evening, to help us with the flag salute, we have our friend Mike Dries from the South County Historical Society. So, Mike, if you would come up and if we would all please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. And Mike, if you'd like to tell us about some of the events with the South County Historical Society.
Just real quick, thank you, Mayor. Thank you, council members, and thank you, staff, for always inviting someone from the society back. We really appreciate it. And the latest thing that we're working on for the city to know is we're starting to work on bringing back an old water tower. And we're trying to get located by the barn and by right in that whole area there. And so there'll be a big project that we're starting on. So you'll be hearing more and more about it as it gets further to completion. So thank you guys for all the support.
Thank you, Mike. Moving on then to agenda review. We have a closed session announcement, and I'll ask legal counsel to please make that announcement.
Earlier at the special meeting, the City Council met in closed session for a conference with legal counsel regarding an existing litigation, Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District versus City of Santa Maria, and there was no reportable action.
Thank you very much. Would anyone like to change any order of business on the agenda this evening?
No, Ms. Brenner.
No.
Okay. Can we move that all ordinances presented for introduction or adoption be read in title only and all further readings be waived?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes unanimously. Tonight we have two special presentations. The first is to the San Luis Obispo Museum of Art. And if Betsy Kaiser would come up to the podium. Just at the museum of months ago. Honorary proclamation in recognition of the San Luis Obispo Museum of Art. Whereas the San Luis Obispo Museum of Art has played a significant role in the cultural and economic development of San Luis Obispo County for more than 30 years. Whereas the San Luis Obispo Museum of Art has launched a $15 million capital campaign to fund the construction of a new 26,000 square foot structure on its current site on the west end of San Luis Obispo's Mission Plaza. Whereas the San Luis Obispo Museum of Art will emerge from its outdated facility into a spectacular new building, offering three times more exhibition galleries, better equipped classrooms and studios, a gallery for the museum's important permanent collection and climate and security systems, allowing the Museum of Art to attract world-class traveling exhibitions. Whereas, with these improvements, the Museum of Art's professional staff, dedicated board of directors, talented teaching artists, and its core of volunteers all will have the resources to reaffirm the Museum of Art's civic responsibility as a vibrant cultural hub and tourist attraction and redefine its increased economic impact in San Luis Obispo County. Whereas the Museum of Art has welcomed hundreds of thousands of visitors through its doors free of charge, featured the artwork of thousands of well-established and emerging artists, held hundreds of adult art workshops and youth art classes at the museum, as well as at various elementary schools, presented countless lectures and documentary films, and collaborated with numerous countywide organizations by hosting their events in its art-filled spaces. Whereas a museum like this becomes a signifier of pride and distinctiveness, it anchors stability and promotes employment and is a forum for exchanging ideas, fostering lasting relationships between the visual arts and civil society. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the entire City Council of the City of Rio Grande hereby recognizes that the San Luis Obispo Museum of Art's distinctive new home will ensure that a revitalized Museum of Art can continue to have a significant and lasting impact on San Luis Obispo County's excellent cultural and economic well-being now and for future generations. So I'll present you this proclamation on behalf of the City and the City Council. Thank you very much. Could you tell us a little bit about the project?
So good evening, Mayor Hill and members of City Council. My name is Betsy Kaiser. I'm the retired Parks and Recreation Director for the City of San Luis Obispo. And for a number of years, I also served as Principal Administrative Analyst to the City Manager's Office. However, I have lived in the City of Arroyo Grande or had an Arroyo Grande address for the past 37 years. I am here tonight as a member of the San Luis Obispo Museum of Art's Board of Directors. During my tenure with the City of San Luis Obispo, I was at times responsible for tourism promotion. I learned that, like all the communities in the county, the City of San Luis Obispo alone did not offer enough attractions to sustain multiple-day visits from tourists. However, when combined with beaches, wineries, and cultural opportunities like those provided by the PAC and the Clark Center for Performing Arts, San Luis Obispo County could be a powerful tourist draw, helping us to become a tourist destination rather than just a place to pass through on the way to somewhere else. That is why I'm here today to thank the City of Arroyo Grande for supporting SLOMA's efforts to build a new museum. Your recognition provides us an opportunity to encourage Arroyo Grande community members to become involved in this effort. The new museum is not just for those people who live in San Luis Obispo. It will benefit all the citizens of our county by bringing to us the advantages you will see in the video. It will also provide important economic benefit to the county and its cities with increased tourism. While we understand that the City of Arroyo Grande may not be able to provide financial support to the new museum, we hope that you will encourage those who can support us to do so, and that you will remind your constituents that SLOMA is their museum too. I thank you. And I present, or I wanted to introduce David Coburn, who is our president of our board.
Thank you, Betsy. I'm David Coburn. Good evening, Mayor Hill, members of the City Council, staff. I'm the president of the board, as Betsy said, of the Museum of Art. And I want to express to you all how honored I am to be here tonight, to accept your proclamation, and to thank you for supporting our efforts to build this much-needed new home for the Museum of Art. Just a little bit about the new home for SLOMA, for which we are in the midst of a $15 million capital campaign. Among the many other features, the new building will triple the space for exhibitions and triple the space for classrooms. It will have a dedicated space for exhibiting its permanent collection, which is the artistic legacy of the Central Coast, and will have meeting spaces and a cafe, thus a gathering spot for everyone on the Central Coast, all in a secure and environmentally controlled space with the latest HVAC technology. This will allow the museum to bring in more frequent and more exceptional exhibitions that the current outdated museum does not support. But please, take a look for yourself. We have prepared a peek into the future of what SLOMA's new home will look like. Again, thank you for your time and your support. May we play the video, please? Thank you.
apologize for the lack of sound, but you can see that they have quite an interesting building proposed that will multiply the size of the galleries and classroom spaces and provide meeting places for the public. So it's quite an interesting project. Understand the climate controls will also allow you to have exhibits that can't be exhibited there currently because we're not currently equipped with climate controls and humidity controls and so forth to allow that to happen. Thank you. Second, this is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and we have a proclamation of Chevenet Campus, and Jennifer McMartin could come up, please. This is a proclamation of the City of Rio Grande declaring April 2018 as Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Whereas Sexual Assault Awareness Month calls attention to the fact that sexual violence is widespread and impacts every person in Rio Grande. Whereas rape, sexual assault, and sexual harassment harm our community, and statistics show that 1 in 5 women and 1 in 71 men will be raped at some point in their lives. Whereas child sexual abuse prevention must be a priority to confront the reality that 1 in 6 boys and 1 in 4 girls will experience a sexual assault before age 18. In youth ages 12 to 17 are 2.5 times as likely to be victims of sexual violence. Whereas the local student population is also at high risk. Nationally, 1 in 4 women and 1 in 16 men are sexually assaulted during their time in college. Whereas last year, the local organization RISE, which stands for Respect, Inspire, Support, and Empower, received 979 crisis calls and sent advocates out 149 times to accompany sexual assault survivors at sexual assault response team medical exams, law enforcement interviews, and so on. Whereas the number of RISE clients receiving counseling for sexual assault-related issues continues to increase every year, with a total of 2,207 hours of counseling provided at low or no cost to community members across the county last year. Whereas the theme of this year's Sexual Assault Awareness Month campaign is Embrace Your Voice. The campaign promotes language as an agent for change and seeks to empower individuals and communities to speak up, support survivors, and continue having the difficult but important conversation about sexual assault. Whereas the City of Rio Grande joins RISE and other advocates in communities across the country in taking action to prevent sexual violence, and acknowledges that each day of the year is an opportunity to create change for the future. Therefore, be it resolved that I, Jim Hill, on behalf of the entire City Council of Rio Grande, hereby proclaim April 2018 as Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Ladies, thank you very much for your involvement.
Thank you. Thank you to Mayor Hill and the City Council for this proclamation. My name is Jennifer McMartin, and I'm the volunteer manager at RISE. I am joined by 7A Campos, RISE's legal advocate. RISE is a nonprofit that serves survivors of sexual and intimate partner violence and their loved ones. While we provide intimate partner violence services in the North County, we are the only agency dedicated to serving survivors of sexual assault or abuse and their families in the entire county of San Luis Obispo.
Last year, RISE helped more than 1,000 women, men, and children who have been affected by sexual assault or abuse. We also provided education services to teens across the county, in an effort to prevent this crime from happening in the first place. Our vision is to create a world that is free of sexual violence, and that means creating a community that is aware and ready to take action.
Every year, we invite San Luis Obispo County men, women, and children to participate in our annual Sexual Assault Awareness Month events, Walk a Mile in Her Shoes, the International Men's March to End Rape, Sexual Assault, and Gender-Based Violence. This event invites men to march in women's high heels to represent the role they play in ending a form of violence that is overwhelmingly perpetrated by men against women. However, you're encouraged to walk in any type of shoe you wish because sexual assault and gender-based violence affects us all. Women, men, children, members of the LGBTQIA plus community, incarcerated individuals, people with disabilities, those of all socioeconomic levels, races, and religions, people in all walks of life.
This year will be our 16th annual event in San Luis Obispo, our 5th annual event in Paso Robles, and our 2nd annual event in Arroyo Grande. The Paso Robles event was held last weekend. The Arroyo Grande event will be held at Heritage Square Park this upcoming Saturday, April 14th. And the final event will be held in San Luis Mission Plaza on Saturday, April 28th. All events feature live music, awareness activities for all ages, and a one-mile walk through downtown. We would love to have your support at any of these events. Please check out our website at walkamileslow.org for details and registration info.
And before I go, I would like to thank and acknowledge our staff, volunteers, and board of directors for all the hard work they do in an effort to end sexual assault in our community. They are completely dedicated to their work, and I am honored to work with such a compassionate group of people. But most importantly, Sexual Assault Awareness Month is about honoring victims, whether they told their story or not. So thank you for joining us in awareness and destroying myths that make it difficult for survivors to talk about their experiences. Thank you again for this proclamation, and we hope you will join us this month to walk a mile.
Thank you. Us to item 7 on the agenda, community comments and suggestions. Any member of the public is welcome to address the council on any topic that is not on the agenda this evening. For those items that are on the agenda this evening, we'll have an opportunity to comment before the council takes action on each of those items. So if you would like to comment on items that are not on the agenda this evening but within the purview of the council, please feel free to do so.
Good evening, Mayor Hill, City Council persons, staff. I'd like to offer an invocation. My name is Linda Osti, and I live in the village of Arroyo Grande. Margaret Mead said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has." As we celebrate the life of Martin Luther King, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. Let us be thankful for our mayor, our city council persons, our staff, and a group of committed citizens who, with your help today, serve and keep our city the jewel of the Central Coast. Let us be thankful for the opportunity to gather together for a good council meeting with good citizens to do the people's business. Let us remember our sons and daughters serving both here and in harm's way. Let us remember our first responders, and let us be thankful. This we ask in your name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Charles Varney, and I'm from Oceano, and I am a part of a small group of people seeking to make a difference. The Five Cities is under a potential very serious threat to its groundwater resources, living in a time of chronic drought. And that is the expansion of the Price Canyon oil field by Sentinel Peak Resources adding 480 new wells, a 900% increase in production to up to 10,000 barrels of oil a day. This will result in the injection of waste water and waste products from that production process into the Santa Maria groundwater basin, which underlies Price Canyon, at the rate of 1,400,000 gallons a day. This toxic soup is a real threat to spread out across the basin that underlies the five cities. The Coastal Blue Project, which I understand Oil Grande is part of, is a multiple million-dollar investment in wastewater recycling, would be rendered pretty moot if the Santa Maria groundwater basin becomes contaminated. The county right now is looking at whether it will include or not include the fringe areas of the basin of Price Canyon and Oro Grande Creek Canyon. And I would urge this council to insist that those fringe areas remain part of the Santa Maria Valley groundwater basin so that they can be under the authority of the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, and so that there will be some authority over it rather than one proposal, which is just to define them away. There is no addressing in the county's proposal or even really acknowledgement of the operations of Sentinel Peak Resources and the proposed increase in number of wells. I am with the Coalition to Protect San Luis Obispo County, which is a grassroots effort to qualify an initiative on the ballot, and I can assure you tonight that it will be on the November ballot, and that initiative seeks to ban new oil wells, prevent fracking, and protect our groundwater resources across San Luis Obispo County. We are gathering signatures, 13,000 of them. We're in our last 3 weeks. We need another 1,000 signatures every week. And if you want to sign the initiative, you can go to protectslocounty.org and find a place to come by and sign the legal document of the petition. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to comment?
Mayor Hill, members of the board, I would like to address the Sand District and the apparent Brown Act violation that occurred last Saturday, a meeting held outside the jurisdiction of the Sand District. With evidence, a notice of pending litigation has been filed. I'm sure you all are aware of that. And it went out to council members, to board members, to staff, to everyone else. And at this point, that's going forward, and today CalAware of the state of California was made aware of the situation and are interested in being involved if indeed this violation is found to be true, and we believe it is. We have the evidence, and we need to get this board again involved in the violations that are occurring. The two board members from the sanitation district were there, not Mayor Hill, okay, because it was out of jurisdiction and a Brown Act violation. Okay, so I would like to bring this board up again because you did follow through on the letter that went to the Sand District. It did get certain items on the agenda, and again, it needs to be put on. They need to be put on notice again. There has been a cure and correct notice given. They need to have that meeting in jurisdiction and have it done correctly and according to the Brown Act. And so at this point, they are willing to go as far, if it is found with everything, if there is no cure or correct, to go into whatever they need to do, including into court if they have to with the lawsuit. So I just wanted to make this council aware and let you know that, again, we need your help in the Sand District again. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to comment to the council?
Good evening, Mayor, Council, and the City of Oro Grande. My name is Teresa Wolf Masacompo, and I'm a survivor from child abuse, and now I'm a thriver here on the Central Coast of California. I'm here today to witness the city declare that Sexual Assault Awareness Month was for this month. I'm also here to inform the community about a new grassroots nonprofit called Coastal Thrivers Corporation. Coastal Thrivers is a recreational peer network for survivors of sexual abuse and assault. We're thrivers. We are here because so many times victims of abuse use negative coping skills, drinking and drugs, and inappropriate relationships to avoid dealing with ongoing pain that occurs called post-traumatic stress disorder. Some victims seek help through crisis programs like Stand Strong and RISE, and or use private counsel, which we highly encourage and support. Once the victim reaches an allotted number of visits, they are considered survivors. Many continue counsel, others work on normalization and creating a better life. However, many don't have the ongoing supportive care that they need. And we want to help support that. So Coastal Thrivers is the next step in the process of a development. We focus on our successes and support our peers by engaging in continuous education and recreational activities that help create new muscle memory, which can condition the whole person and sustain recovery. Some of these activities include education, seminars, but also hiking, biking, running, swimming, kayaking, also annual retreats. One of Coastal Thrivers' outings in July will consist of a morning yoga and a surf lesson on Pismo Beach with Extending Grace Yoga and Amp Surf. It will allow the thrivers, to connect with one another and support one another. In addition, we will hold public events that inform and invoke healthy attitudes towards healing our community. These include an annual benefit dinner, picnics with families, and a survivors awareness health fair with a 5K fun run on Pismo Beach. I would like to invite you all to our I'd like to invite you all to support Coastal Thrivers by joining us during our Polynesian benefit dinner set for June 23rd, located at St. John's Lutheran Church in Rio Grande. To help survivors thrive. You see, we're not here to just survive, we're also here to support and be a light to others. So we encourage them to dig into life and be thrivers. You can find my information on my flyer. And I really appreciate it, yes. There's your ribbon for the month. You can wear all month. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the positive contribution you're making.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to address the council at this time?
just some information on the Brown Act and an op-ed piece by Julie Tacker. I went to the meeting on Saturday, and I was undecided whether I was going to go to it because it was in San Luis and I'm in Aurora Grande. And then I realized that it was being held in violation of the Brown Act. The Brown Act is here to provide transparency for special districts, so, or government agencies, so that the public knows what's going on with their government. So I gathered myself together and went into San Luis and attended the meeting. And there were four members of the public there who were pretty much there with the same reason that I was there, to say to the board and staff and whoever was there that we felt that this was a violation of the Brown Act, that it was being held outside of district boundaries. And there were facilities within the boundaries where the meeting could be held. And we each said our piece, and we were pretty much ignored. Just the meeting went on. Now, I think that there were two violations. One was just holding the meeting outside of the jurisdiction when there were facilities available within. And the other was it was not properly posted. It was held at the Marriott. There was no agenda anywhere outside. I thought the meeting was there because I had that address. I went inside. There was no poster in the lobby saying Sanitation District Special Meeting or anything. There was nothing. I went to the front desk and said, I'm looking for the South Sand District Special Meeting. Can you tell me where it is? And the woman at the desk of the hotel said, I really don't know anything about it. You're free to look around and see if you can find it. So I started looking around and ran into Julie Tacker, and she knew where it was. She found it. So I'm just saying that we really need to start watching. This council really needs to start watching. The public needs to start watching what is going on at the South Sand District. Our mayor is not... The other two members of the board are not supportive of anything Mayor Hill says. He's the only one that's speaking adult talk. He's the only one that brings up issues that need to be addressed. And then the chair says, let's move on. I would invite you to watch a few of the meetings, watch some of the back meetings. You'll see what I'm talking about. We really need to let them know we're watching them. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the council at this time?
Good evening. I'm Jim Brush. I'm your county superintendent, and I'm here in that capacity to thank you for your support and community service officer in for the high school here. I'm going around to all the city councils and the board of supervisors just acknowledging the importance of community service officers, especially in light of the issues we've had recently in schools, not only in our county, but across the country. Also convened a meeting of all of the school districts, law enforcement, community service organizations, mental health, and social services recently in March to discuss some of the issues and to get in front of them. It's not so much about having a badge and a gun at our campuses, it's more about the communication. That's the important piece of the community service officers. An email invitation went out to your city manager and your chief, inviting them to a follow-up forum in May that will be hosted in North County. And we anticipate about 60 to 70 local leaders, including our three legislators, here really to discuss ways that we can be proactive in providing school safety for our entire community. I'm going to leave my card with you and would encourage you, if you have questions, to call me directly. I am responsible for all of the schools in our county, and Dr. Daly's doing a fine job, and your police chief is working very closely with Lucia Marr. So again, I want to thank you and encourage your continued support of the community service officers throughout our county. And the invitation is open not only to the chief and your city manager, but any of you council members that would like to attend and see what's going on. I encourage you to come as well. And call me if you have questions. And it doesn't have to be, you know, about the high school football team. It can be about anything. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Council. My name is Brad Snook. I'm the chair of our county chapter of Surfrider Foundation. To piggyback on a couple comments earlier, our chapter is part of the Coalition to Protect Slo County, and the fracking initiative, and the moratorium on new oil wells, gathering signatures right now around the whole entire county to get on the ballot for November. And so Charles Varney is actually our Stop Climate Change program coordinator for Surfrider, and you can find out more about either one of those issues on slo.surfrider.org. I'm here tonight, absent from our chapter monthly meeting at iFixit in Slo, where the motto is right to repair, keep stuff out of the landfill, and that's what they do at iFixit. So we salute iFixit for providing a facility for us to meet every month, and that's second Tuesday between 6 and 7:30 at iFixit. I've been in front of the council. I've discussed the importance of bringing value to ratepayers, the stakeholders in the sanitation district, as well as the city. It's vital that you bring good value in what we do, what we all do together. Right now, the stakeholders are not getting good value. Rio Grande is getting cheated out of representation because the other representatives are ignoring Mayor Hill's input. And it's true. You can watch the video. You can find out. We are not a viable player in the South Coast Sanitation District because the other two are rallying against our mayor. So we support what Mayor Hill has done. He's brought a couple issues to the South County Sanitation District, specifically having to do with conflicts of interest of the Wallace Group at the district. And as that's played out over the years, it turned out to be an important issue for the district and for the city as well. We talked about hiring a new district administrator at South County Sanitation District, and here this happens on Saturday where they hold a meeting outside the district and they don't publicly notice that so that others can join and become part of that important decision, vital decision that will move that district towards a wastewater treatment plant that recycles wastewater and saves over 300,000 gallons a day in an effluent. So thank you for hearing my comments. Again, if you want to contact me, send a message to chair@slo.surfrider.org. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Snook. Would anyone else like to address the council at this time?
Hello, Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. So I wanted to address the sanitation district also. So April 4th meeting, there was closed session regarding the setting a time and location to do the interviews for district administrator. Since it was closed session, we can't know what happened, but I'm assuming that each community or their representative offered their meeting rooms as, you know, a place to hold the meeting so that they could keep it within district boundaries. It's a known fact that Oceano really has inadequate facilities for Skyping. In other words, no big, no big screen TV, etc. I assume Grover and Arroyo offered their meeting rooms. The notice went out on Thursday, April 5th to the board and the website. And then a strange thing happened on Thursday, April 5th. Mr. Ron Arnoldson was telling people that he would be attending a sanitation meeting Saturday that would violate the Brown Act. Now, that's an interesting thing to tell people. So Saturday morning, at that point, Director Hill complained about the meeting and that it would violate the Brown Act. And there were four people from the public that also echoed his complaints. The posting was missing from the front door of the hotel, but I believe that to be a technical violation and not the end of the world. So I have three rhetorical questions for Director Hill. Did Director Hill offer the city's meeting room? Since that's closed session and can't really be disclosed, then maybe staff can check and see whether the reservation calendar whether the room was available on the reservation calendar. That should be a way of knowing whether it was offered or not. And then if Director Hill, if you had a problem with the location, why didn't you bring that up Thursday or Friday? Those are two whole days to make your complaint known, and the changes could be made. So why wait till Saturday morning at the last minute? And then lastly, why did you not accept the advice of the sanitation district's attorney that the meeting was not a violation of the Brown Act and could proceed? I mean, that's why we pay the attorney for his judgment, okay? And he did say it was proper and could proceed. So I think this meeting was a setup for failure on a technical violation to disrupt the process of hiring. Director Hill has been obstructing forward movement of the sanitation district. He is failing his fiduciary responsibility to the board.
Thank you for your comment. Anyone else?
Good evening, Mary Lucy Oceano. I do attend the SAM meeting, and when I don't attend the SAM district meeting, I watch it on TV, and there is some tension on that board. There's no question about it. Mr. Hill has brought a long, exhaustive list of things that he'd like to have addressed, and I think systematically the board has attempted to go through each one as they can. So every time you bring issues that are not relevant to the operation of the Sand District, because remember, the Sand District has one function, to process our sewer. That's all they have. They don't need big boards, but there's been a call for a board of five because Mr. Hill didn't have the support of the other two board members, no matter who they were. The things that he was requesting were either not supported or they were integrated into the system. So every time something is picked off Mr. Hill's list, it costs more and more money to evaluate, a board of five versus a board of three. It costs thousands of dollars because you have legal, and I'm not going to go through all that. So I sit there and I think to myself, excuse me, what's the end story here? What's the purpose of trying to destroy a collaboration in the time when we should be pulling our resources together even more? E.g., needing water, Oceano having, a good water supply. We're trying to build coalitions here, not tear them down. And it appears that the mayor of Arroyo Grande has done everything possible. So I have to stand back and I say, what is the purpose? What is the goal here? And what it comes down to is there's an employee who was fired from the sanitation district for, one, falsifying reports to the state of California, and that's well documented, on the water quality going out of the fall line. He's always been a very good friend of the Hills. Okay, so if they can delay putting a permanent administrator in there, they can bring that person back on. You're going to cost the ratepayers thousands and thousands of dollars to delay bringing on a permanent administrator until the election time, hoping that Arroyo Grande gets Debbie Peterson in there. Now, to me, this seems so absurd. I mean, what's the bottom line? What's the goal here? And it goes back to the mayor making a statement. We are not in the water business. Does not want to do reclaiming